Fuji.
That's right.
Town of Bowie committee meetings for September 2nd, 2014 will come to order. Please turn off our silence electronic devices. Ms. Bourgeois, will you listen to pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois?
Here.
Councilmember Richard?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Nisler?
Here.
Attorney Costa?
Here.
Mayor Moore?
Here. Minutes for the August 11th package in, August 11th minutes in your back. If you have any corrections or anything, just let me know. We'll be on the agenda for next week. Committee reports and discussion from the floor. Public Works, police station construction. The maintenance bond concrete is done. And both the maintenance bond and the records room are basically done. All they have to do is punch list them. They don't want to do that until a little while longer. The main building is sticking to the schedule, still saying September 21st, at which time we have scheduled to move in. And then we have a mini schedule for the, you know, move in, followed by the demolition, followed by the paving and all that. So I had federal jury duty the day they had the meeting. I wasn't at the meeting, but it appears that, you know, they're saying that they're still okay and there's very few issues. With that, we're going to put on the agenda the change order that you have in your package. It's additional power and data in the patrol room. These are all things that the chief of police recommended in the amount of, I can't remember the amount, like $7,000, whatever, I can't. Oh, $9,915.82. And as usual, I get, I run these by Don and.
Was that the telephone?
Yeah, yeah.
It was $9,000?
Well, additional power and data, provide and install 5 security grills in the access panel in the room because they were the wrong kind of grills. Add flex and boxes, 3 telephones and drops. Wiring furniture for the patrol room. Yeah, you can't do nothing for cheap. They'd rewire everything.
Yeah, it was like common sense stuff they didn't do to begin with, like no telephone in the kitchen, which is where all the cops would be. No telephone in the interview room.
Yeah.
And I don't know about security, but I think all the time.
But the grills in the security, in the room weren't security grills. That was their screw up.
Yeah, they said $9,000, I told them, let's get a cola phone. That's right.
Well.
Said they had a lot of like.
Let me say something. In my prior life, I had a lot of deals with contractors and people like that. And the price to add something to a job is far greater than the price that a common person would look at it, or it would have cost you if it had been part of scope from the beginning. So, you know.
I think literally.
I hear what you're saying, but I ain't going to do a letter.
No, I think literally we added three phone jacks.
Yeah.
And we took away like 4.
Yeah.
If they were double jacks and a.
That was all like having 10 in the room.
Well, it was a jack behind the chief's desk for a phone and a jack in the front of the chief's desk for a phone.
Additional power and data, $2,238.08.
Wow. Any add-ons, any price?
So the other stuff was a security grill. Wait, so it was only $2,200?
Security grills was $5,598. Wiring for the furniture in the patrol room was $392.
Yeah, I think what we did in that was added extra spots in case we ever had extra officers.
Yeah.
Added extra desks.
So anyway, it'll be.
They were approved and also, and they paid 5% of the cost.
Yeah, they paid 89, yeah. But anyways, I hear what you're saying. I understand. I feel your pain. I don't have anything else on the police station. Anybody have anything? Now that I've given the official company line, I have to say I walk in that building and I look at it outside. It don't look like it's going to be ready by September 21st.
You
but they claim they will. Now, we are not at all going to even think about, thinking about a ribbon cutting until that sucker's done. The police department moved in, got a chance to put the furniture where it belongs, everything works, and then we'll think about it. Because it's going, now, I don't want to have a fiasco where we depend on that schedule. We invite a bunch of people that's only 90% done or something. So, be, stay tuned. Sewer manhole repair update. We called three vendors who patch manholes. Roy's in the audience, and I think he recommended some of them or gave us some names. We called three of them. Two of them gave us prices. One of them, we made them provide us references, and we called, the better of the two was Gulf Coast Underground. And we called two different places that was using them, and one person says they've been using them for 10 years, they wouldn't use anybody else. And another one said they were great to work with, their price is very reasonable, and their product was good. So Monday night, I'm going to ask y'all to approve signing a contract with GCU Gulf Coast Underground out of Mobile, Alabama. But they have local office. And the amount of $25,000. We just do as many manholes as we can for $25,000. And this is that $25,000 LGAP grant, or whatever it's called. Okay, any questions about that?
Do you have any idea of what close that might get us to?
If they assume that you have a 7-foot average depth, that's 16 plus manhole. So, and we're gonna cherry pick the ones. Roy's gonna help us cherry pick them, but we're gonna cherry pick the ones that we think will get the most benefit out of them. Definitely a couple of them on Arlene Street, and then there's gonna be some in the Bourgeois drainage area.
I noticed some of the manhole covers are painted red. Is that y'all inspected those? I wonder what that.
I noticed that myself.
That's the number Wayne found problems inside.
Oh yeah. Okay. So those might be a good target, right? Anything else on sewer manhole repairs? Anything else in public works in general?
How many COVID applications?
Well, you took one of my items off of mine. But we have a grand total, and it took a while to add them up, we have a grand total of one. Uno. I think we measured four of them, but we only had one come in with the money.
Did you get them all?
Yeah, well, we're going to try. Curtis is a nervous wreck. All right. Anything else, public works? Anybody? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll go directly to the lengthy mayor's report and say that the diesel generator has been turned over to us after a struggle. And the Allen Street catch basin at the end of the street where the end of old, yeah, I was trying to, you don't use his name, at Jake Albert's house, where it was washing out the bank as a catch basin, it's been backfilled, so that's basically finished. And the parish has restarted the culvert project behind Allen Street. So a lot of stuff happened on Allen Street.
As soon as they start to get through
the water? Yeah, we got a couple of good rains since they started, but it's drained well. Anyway, planning and zoning, item A, discuss ordinance 8. Relative to the amendment, reenactment of chapter 19. Basically, we have to, by ordinance, we have to adopt this map. And I think, if I'm correct, Patricia told me there's only three rezonings that this represents different from the other one. But we got in color now, and we have the software to do it, so we want to be able to do it. If we have changes, it's a lot easier.
And the procedure is, you just need somebody to introduce it next week. The three advertisements before the planning.
Oh, it hadn't even been introduced yet? I don't know.
Planning's on it and approved it.
Planning's on it, approved, okay. Yeah. So we've got all the advertisements, and so y'all will vote on it.
Okay.
And one other thing that you said that our planning's on it, meaning that the date on this map is May 7th, 2014, and that those fines in Orleans quarters were not all complete, or not all. Something, did they say that something wasn't official at the time of the map?
She said that the assessor's office, I saw that Orange Quarters Road was not extended all the way, and it's been completed now. She said they don't do that up there until all, she said until all the lots are sold, but I think once the subdivision is approved and adopted, that they go ahead and put those lots on there.
And we can't do nothing without them?
Well, I don't know why we can't go ahead and, you know.
I don't know.
Did you see a lot of your maps from their database?
Yeah.
Yes, probably.
So then you gotta wait for them, otherwise you may run into problems whenever they update their database, if there's any conflict between the alls and theirs.
I don't see a problem with waiting until we update it a year from now, because that's all R1, and I don't anticipate any changes.
Right, I don't see any zoning changes on that.
You mean just go ahead and adopt it next week?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
But the date on it.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be rezoned or nothing else. No, it's not, well, I'm running. All right. Item two, discuss full, final plat map showing subdivision, blah, 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 for Richard Sonia. That's your painting package. And that would be this one.
The one that's fake.
And that one was favorably recommended, although, well, this is the one with Richard, where they only had three votes, right?
Three votes.
They had a quorum, but one person, recused. Yeah, it's okay. This is recommended.
It's a majority of those present, but it's not a majority of the whole committee.
Gotcha, okay.
If they had a quorum, they would have been able to.
Would have voted on.
No, it's fine.
So the upshoot of this is he's just lining all those lots up with the people that live on Orange Quarters. So ostensibly, they will buy the lots when they keep this together, so.
What I'm glad to see on here is they have a 10-foot servitude, which keeps them from landlocking any of those lots, which allows the owner to get back there to cut the grass. Two people buy on each side, and the one in the middle doesn't, he still has that 10-foot access. And the public dedication clause does not allow him to build fences across there, so he will still have access.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, could be changed later on once they all buy and there's no more problems off the land.
Like pulling teeth, getting to put that in there, but we finally acquiesced.
That's good.
I mean, it was for his own benefit, but
right.
He didn't see it that way.
And I was too.
Yeah, I was too, sure. All right, anything else on that one? We got another plat, same type of thing, except this is for Hubert Thibodeau. And this is in the front section with the front, those seven lots, I think. No, this is the first 10 or so lots on the north side after you cross into Orleans West. If I have that right.
Yep. That's up to the first one, the drainage thing.
Yeah. Up to the pond.
Because he kept an open land, and Richard bought all the wood and then the roof.
Gotcha. And that was also favorably recommended, so that'll be on the agenda next night. Any other questions on it? Any other planning and zoning things? All right, top three derelict buildings. We have some changes. You can see 1029 West Main. It used to say corrective action by owner. Now it says reopen. What that is that's Gray's house in the corner. That Wayne called to go re-inspect the house. It's nothing been done for a long time, and I've been put up with it. She said we were invading her privacy and that she refused to let me in. She said she just had surgery. Anyway, so Tom has written a letter to her and says, you know, we need to let us in the house or we're gonna get in by court order. We're gonna inspect the house, compare it to the original inspection, and if it's still derelict, then we'll go to the next step. So more to come on that one. That'll take a while. The other one is Miss Henrietta Woods' house. I contacted Victor, Victor said he didn't own it, got in touch with Henry. Henry called me and said that he had heard from neighbors about certain things about the zoning and all that, and that he was gonna get with his brothers. I told him they need to come and talk to us and find out what the real story is. So that's in the process. We're in the verbal process right now. They're not backing up the truck to knock it down, but they want to tear it down. They just not. I don't think they have any thoughts of refurbishing it or anything like that. So that's in early stages. I just wanted to let y'all know where we at. I'll keep y'all posted on that. Anything else on derelict buildings? Anybody? Okay, next, junk cars. As you know, the police department is no longer in charge of junk cars. So I went around town and I have a pictorial representation of the ones that I identified to make sure you know that they're not really good vehicles. Some of these, I'm not going to identify who owns them or anything like that, because some of these people are readily taking care of it on their own, and we're at the verbal stage right now. We had one of them tell us to write them a letter. They want a letter because they're going to use it to get rid of the car. But anyway, we're at various stages. It's just been a little bit of a backlog. This is the first of two vehicles on Lejeune Street, Lejeune Lane. Next one. And that's the other one. Next.
That's off of Eden Street?
Yes. This is one on Blanchard Street. And the next one. This is another one in the same yard. Next. This is on Main Street. This is a picture of a trailer and a camper. The camper, I'm not sure, has a license or anything like that, so I'm not even sure what we can do with that, if anything. So next. And this is also on that property. The engine is in need of repair.
In need of being engine.
Next. This is a car that's also at the corner of Anita and Main. You can see the oaks in the background. Next. This is on Gwynn Street, kind of like in the middle of a lot. Next. It's also on Gwynn Street under a carport. It's got garbage cans behind it, but can't get out or fall out. Next. This is on Kirkland. We're all familiar with that one. Next. This is on, on Julian Street. Well, it's sort of like Gwynn and Julian. Yeah. Next. This is one on First Street. Next. This is one on St. John Street. Next. This is two of them. He's on Avery. This is one on Avery Street. And this is his brother on Avery Street. So they're not in real good shape right now. But anyway, just wanted to give you all a pictorial representation. Now, we deal with each one individually, and some of them are, you know, they're going to take care of it themselves. So
I want to say, well, the guy was doing a really good job.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Appreciate the compliment. All right, anything else on junk cars or derelict buildings, anything? And I have to say that I went to a kids' football game in Napoleonville that we watched in the rain Saturday. And on the way back, we decided to eat in Blackman, so we took some of the back streets. The worst street in Brule, the worst one, you take the worst one, it's nowhere near as bad as those things. It's amazing. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, that'd be a nightmare to clean that up. But anyway, next, financial review, office bills. Anybody have any questions, comments, discussion?
I have a comment on the administration, the personal, down about 5 or 6, where we pay the parish special fees for building inspectors.
Yeah.
$1,380, could we look to see if our fees cover that cost? In other words.
Yeah, they have to. We pay for half. They just get half. They get half of what we charge.
Okay.
Yeah. It definitely
covered it.
Yeah.
Advertising and everything.
Yeah, give them that. Anything else? All right. Surplus items, it's going to be on the agenda, that big list that Debbie gave you earlier. It's going to, it's a large list of items that we like to surplus. We briefly struggled with trying to set prices for some of this stuff. Then came to the conclusion that if perchance we'd set a price over $1, there'd be a chance that some of this stuff wouldn't sell, and we don't want it to not sell. We want it to sell under any circumstances. Now, Richard, on here is still those guns. Why don't you tell the council what you told me about those guns and all that stuff?
Well, those are okay. This is...
No, no, I'm talking about as far as the guns on the surplus.
I want to add some stuff to it just for the recording. The guns that are listed in the main part of the surplus, which are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. These 11, there's no issue with them. Some of these are pretty expensive. These HK MP5s, it's fully automatic weapons, blah, blah, blah. What I'd like to be careful with on this is I don't think that the town should, I mean, I know we need surplus, but I don't think that we should include this in a regular auction, because then it would kind of put us in a trick bag to, you know, if Billy Bob comes to buy it, then we're responsible for doing the background, which is A, not something we can legally do, and B, not something we should be strapped with doing. What I'd like to consider is take all the weapons, let you guys surplus them, and then let's get, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever magic number you want to get, federal firearms dealers in here to bid on them as a package maybe, and let them, when they buy them, let them figure out who they're going to sell them to, so it's not our problem. We've done that in the past. We usually, I don't know where we came up with the number 3, sounds like we might have made it up, I don't know. But we've always got 3 licensed dealers, so like you can Spillway Sportsman, Superior Firearms. We used to use anybody, so it used to be Kevin, Spillway Sportsman, Superior Firearms, but it doesn't matter who, I mean, we could open up anybody. There's 6 guns that I want to add to the surplus, and I'll tell you to deal with them. I'm going to get them released to us, but they're evidence in the pending criminal case right now. I think we're going to substitute them with photos. We're going to take photos of them, so we can take these other 6 and include them with these and surplus them all at one time. So if I can just read those real quick for the recording, just a serial number. It's a Detective Special Code 38 caliber, serial number 30244 M Mike. 1911 Code 45 caliber, serial number 58672 G Golf 70. North American Arms, there's 2 of them, they're both 22 caliber pistols. Magnum, 22 Magnums. E is an Echo 149036, and E is an Echo 138288. That's the serial number. 2 Model 442 Smith & Wesson 38 caliber snub nose. CET 6166 and CET 6167. Those weapons I'd like to put with the other weapons that are listed and do all of the guns at one time. Now, there's still a lot of firearms that we, as we talked about, that we have not, that we don't know where they're at. There's some M16 automatic weapons, blah, blah, blah. So we're not including that as a surplus, but we don't know where they are.
It's too much. Your question. If we call this guy that regularly does the auction for us, and he says, oh yeah, I'm certified to sell weapons, would it be better for us to sell them at the auction or sell them in bulk?
I think it'd be better to sell them in bulk. I really do. I think you, because even the junky guns, you're going to get this bulk price. I mean, that's some pretty expensive weapons in there. You're probably talking, I'm going to just guess off the top of my head, you're probably talking $10,000 to $15,000 at least, I would think. I mean, those 2 automatic weapons are great. And you can't sell those to just anyone. That's got to be a class 3 dealer that's got to have them. They can sell them to a department, but they're really high priced.
So I guess it'd be best to just remove these from the list, or?
I think we need to declare them a surplus. I think the council has to
do it as a separate list.
Yeah.
Okay. So that 2 list next week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Could you get that list typed up so we can make sure it's in the minutes?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do it for the record. I have it, Debbie, added. The other 3 things, just glancing through, that I didn't notice on the on the list, and it may be, and I missed it, is the covered trailer. I don't think we ever came to a decision on if we were going to loan it, sell it, whatever. Anyway, the covered utility trailer, I'd like.
I never heard back from the high school.
So I'd like to add that to the surplus list, the cooking trailer, whatever it is. And the utility trailer that was purchased from Mike Gerald's Trailer Depot, whatever it's called. So it's two trailers I'd like to make sure we have. I'll get the VIN numbers to have it for next week. And then the Rhino, we've kind of like said, here, Wayne, take it to get it out away from us, but I don't know what the process is. Do we need to declare surplus and let the town have it, or do we need, or what?
Well, you just know, the town owns all of it. The police department don't own anything.
That's the thing about it, see.
Just transfer it over. No, it's.
Tom, actually.
Get good use of it.
One of the guns on the auction. Could the auctioneer set up the package of guns?
Minimum bid.
Only licensed firearms dealers can bid on it at that auction.
Yeah.
You know, have an auction within the auction, where we're doing it all at the same time, and these are, you know, only federal firearm license.
The danger in that is, what if only one guy shows up and he bids a dollar?
Minimum bid package of guns.
Yeah, we got some minimum.
I'm telling you, that's a really expensive gun.
I think if you can get a few dealers to talk this up about the whole group being sold as one, that you'll have a lot of interest in that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the deal. A lot of people think just the opposite about police department weapons, whether they're old or junk. The deal is, I can tell you how many times that weapon has been fired, because it's shot once a year on qualifying, it's 60 bullets a year. So other than holster wear, it's just like the military. You know how many times this gun has been fired. So it's not.
Just the two cups in the HK MP5.
That's a lot of money. Yeah, those HK are, they really.
So as I understand it, you're gonna give a dip, we're gonna have the order list.
Yeah.
With just the firearm, and you're gonna look at it, and you're gonna ask the council to declare surplus, a minimum for the package of so many dollars.
Yes.
And we're going to go out to firearm dealers and get bids.
I recommend that whatever condition the sale, that it be to a class, whatever,
class three,
that be put in the declaration.
Okay.
As a surplus.
All right. Let's do that.
So they don't get in the wrong hands.
Yeah, you can be a federal firearms dealer and not be certified as a class three dealer, which means you can't sell automatic weapons, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, you know, something like Spillway can do all of it. The pawn shop can typically do all of it.
Just make sure that.
They know they have class three license.
Speaking of guns, I know Paul's going to be here live, and he's going to be here by video. But you need to be ready to answer the question. How are we going to find these missing guns? I mean, is there a plan? What happens? You know, if somebody in New York shoots somebody.
I'll give you a snapshot of it right now.
I'm serious. That's what the
point is. I'll give you a snapshot of it.
You watch TV, and they, you know.
I'll give you a snapshot of it. Well, basically, right now, we have, through court order and through records request of closed business license, we requested ATF in Virginia, which is the main facility that keeps records, to pull all records of any weapons, any dealings with the Bruton Police Department. And we have one particular business owner that we believe most of the dealings were done with. But that owner closed his business and reopened under another name. So he no longer was required by law to maintain his closed business records. But he was required by law, when he closed his business, to send them to ATF records. So there is a request. I forwarded, I think, to you just so you know it was done.
Yeah.
There is a request by the Inspector General's office for those records. We are awaiting that. So it's like some little dude in a room going through, you know, I guess by hand. I don't know what the deal is, but it is time consuming. And we don't have a time frame other than, I would think, in the next 2 months we'll have an answer. And the only downside to that is, if it didn't go through that dealer, then we back to square one. I think the majority of them did. I really think some of the weapons we're talking about were just not surplus, but they were traded or whatever for other weapons that are probably here. I don't think they were taken to somebody's house. I just think they weren't surplus, otherwise we'd have a record of those weapons. That list we're talking about actually came from the town's master inventory list, if I'm saying that right. That asset inventory list, is that what y'all call it? Yeah.
He's asking you.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's where I got those. The town is still showing that we have them, and we actually did.
Yes.
So I think that, I saw some paperwork on it at one time where like some of them were listed, and I saw a minimum bid package at the bottom, but I don't think that was, looking back at the records, it was never done through the council. So anyway.
Okay, all right, thank you. Where were we? You can, well, I don't know of anything, personnel, recreation, police, discuss police officer recommendation. You gonna have a recommendation next week?
I do, he actually started yesterday, and
What's his name?
His name is Jeremy Thompson, he went through the hiring board, he was a former detective with Fort Allen City. He's a guy that working with, he originally worked with LSU, went to Fort Allen City, and then the university system got him back. He, about 15 years experience, he's post-certified, we got his matrix redone because they required him, then when his was like 6 years old, so we got all that back. Hiring board recommended him, along, I'm trying to think, we only had two show up last hiring board out of six, and I think he was the highest recommendation, if I remember right. Anyway, he started yesterday with Tom, just doing his ride-along program, and we hadn't, it'd probably be a couple weeks, a month before we release him on his own, so he doesn't have a unit yet, but he's doing the FTO program.
All right, so that'll be on the agenda. Anything else, police?
That's it?
Governmental affairs, I don't know anything. Liability, discuss Liberty National Life Insurance. For the council members who were here for a while, you remember at one time, we authorized Aflac to come in and offer a supplemental policy to the employees where they can get a policy, and if they get sick, they get some money from Aflac. The town, it costs the town nothing. But the town does have to, the council does have to approve that the money being withheld from their checks and us distributing the money to them. This guy with Liberty National Life Insurance came and has a policy, policies that he is offering to the employees, and same type of arrangement as Aflac. Why Liberty National Life Insurance? Because he's the guy that showed up, nobody else passed, so it had been competitively bid, but you know, Debbie can talk about it as an employee, but it seems to be a good, take it if they want. Yes.
Well, they would have a choice to use either Aflac or this?
No, Aflac is already a done deal. Aflac deals with medical stuff. This is life insurance for the employees. We already give the employees life insurance, but this is like so additional life and disability, stuff like that.
It's authorizing the deduction coming out of the employee check, but the employee will be paying that deduction.
Yeah, so no cost to the town, but the town has been used as a mechanism. All right, any discussion on that? LMA endorsed constitutional amendment resolution. They have two constitutional amendments that are coming up, and Ronnie Harris, the new guy in charge of the LMA, called me and asked me if we would support these two amendments. If you read them, they're about blighted property, and they really don't have anything to do with the town of Ruley. It's mostly like cities, and people that have that problem. Apparently, some of the cities are hiring an outside third party to do their collections and their tax collections for the blighted property. Somebody went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. So they've done a pass against constitutional amendments so that they can't do that. I don't see where it affects the town one way or the other. We have a mechanism in place to collect ours, so I don't have a problem endorsing it, and they just ask to do the LMA. They're trying to get all the LMA towns and cities to do it. So.
That's the November ballot?
Yeah, trying to be constitutional amendments. Just so they can say X number of towns and cities endorse it. Yeah. Nothing more to it. I don't know any more than what I read in the thing myself. He just asked us to do it. Any discussion on that? All right, Mayor's report. I have a letter from the Rosses, who live at the end of the Pecan or Short, which one do you live at?
Oh, Pecan.
Pecan. And I brought it with me because I want to read it to you. And it's, I'm going to tell you, if the town of Ruley gets through this without a death, we'll be doing good.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what I did.
That's the one.
That's the one.
I know, I put it in here. No, well, basically what they said was, they don't want anybody, they don't want the police department on their property unless they call for a 911 or if they're invited guests. Well, I thought I put it there, but I didn't bring it. So police department, I have the dubious honor of telling you, you know, please don't go out there. If the neighbors call, don't go unless it's a 911 call.
I'm going to be house on the law.
Yeah, right. These people are something, boy. One of the ladies came in today and said they had driven to Zachary where the other neighbor used to live, talked to the neighbors about whether the neighbors had trouble with it. I mean, seriously. And informed me that the other one is suing them for putting a sign that says no trespassing. I mean, it's like, it's about as bad as it can get.
The other one drove to Pierpont to check on the other neighbor to find out there and what they got going on.
And y'all thought y'all had settled something.
I'm investigating.
I settled it out there. I told them we ain't doing nothing. But anyway, all right, Orleans West construction plans are finally done. We did them in advance, we had issues, but it came out there. They can go to work anytime they're ready, but I haven't seen them. I already talked about the Venzu generator, but I'll talk about that. Tom Acosta has, I think, mailed a letter to ProPipe and all of the DSLDs and everybody else relative to phase one, the road on phase one of Orleans West. The road is coming apart and they extended their bond for 6 months and they still came out there and the road's still falling apart. They want to come and patch it. I'm not in favor of that. I want them to do a root cause of why the problem exists before they patch. So we're going lawyer on that. So more on that, I'm sure. Stewart Construction, the guys that did this helped us. We had a cord broke on our flagpole, so they used their lift to help us put a new rope up there. We appreciate that. We have ordered our Purple Heart flags. We had 12 people who did have a Purple Heart, so we ordered a few extra. I attended a very disturbing CRPC meeting at which a guy named Mike McDaniel, actually happened to be in the paper this morning, was talking about the air emission standards, and they're at 75 parts per whatever, and now they might go down to 60, 65. If they do, there's nobody going to really expand anything. And coincidentally, a few days later, I went to a tour that was put on by Dow to show us about the three expansions that they're having out there. And I asked the guy, and his name is Duval, I asked him about it. He confirmed what he said, that unless you got points banked for air standards, you ain't gonna build anything. So who knows what's gonna happen. But while I was there, it was really interesting. He was talking about the three units that they're gonna build. They're gonna build two new ones and one they're gonna just add on to another one. It's like a double the size of it. But he was saying the competitive advantage that Dow has right now is related to fuel in this area. That they're gonna spend, I don't know, $1 billion, $2 billion in the first unit. He said the payback will be in 1 year. That's how fast they're paying back. That's that much demand for what they built it, what they made.
If not more.
If not more. So that's pretty good competitive advantage. Sir. And the last thing I have is I want to wish our Chief of Police, Richard Johnson, the best on his surgery. He will not be here. He'll be prepping for his surgery next week. And I want to wish you all the best. That's all I have. Remarks of personal privilege, anyway.
Just about the expansions. You know, with the expansions, you expect to see more traffic. I'm signing off, but it's four projects. One, the electrical infrastructure. We're going to spend about $70, $80 million upgrading the electrical part. We're going to spend about $250 million upgrading one of the hydrocarbon units. So the two together can make about 10 to 20% more.
Yes.
Which right now they make about $5.5 million profit a day. We're building a world scale, one of the largest of its kind. polyethylene plant, high pressure. They were doing a low pressure addition, really it's addition, but the addition is bigger than the plant that they add on to. Probably middle of summer next year, you see about 1,500 to 2,100 new workers on the Dow site.
The parking lot's impressive.
We're building one parking lot, fit 1,000 calls. We're building another one for about 500 calls. We're routing some off the River Road. No. But they asked talk of us sitting on ferrying our own employees across the river to a landing site on the other side. Building a parking lot over there.
Well, I tell you what,
trying to bypass the speed trap, but no, you can see a lot of traffic, River Road.
But all that got killed in Luling, that's what they would do. That ferry, they had a huge number of pedestrians, and they get to the other side, they pick them up in a bus and bring them over.
But they are trying to use some of the local contractors. I know Performance is going to build 2 power plants. Turner's going to build a portion of one in the ethylene plant.
That was some cooking equipment to cook for those 2
We cook all of them.
I think Ruth Chris is going
to
build.
And I know Shintech is doing a lot of expansion to add to the traffic problem.
Lots of money coming in, Sheriff Ruby, count my blood. I've been a lot of places in this country, they don't have
a lot of young people.
Tax base.
A lot of opportunities.
Just so y'all know, I wrote a letter for Joey to rewrite and sign or whoever on behalf of the mayor, council, and citizens approval. To Mike Cass, appreciation to allow Vichy to serve us during this interim period. So,
thank you for doing that. He's been urging me to do it for a month, and I didn't do it. I didn't get off. Instead of getting me off of my TV, I didn't get it. Anybody else? Do I hear a motion adjourned? Move, Ms. Dodd.
Thank you, Debbie.
Police Department audit report will be at our next meeting, so be sure to tell your friends and neighbors to come. Oldies with Goodies Fest will be September 13th and 14th on the grounds of West Baton Rouge Tourist and Information Conference Center. Okay, motion by Mr. Andre, second by Ms. Booth, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Or nay, aye.
We're wrong.